This is WBGR, Big FM 93.7 in the Morning Mess. Dan Bloom with you here. Thanks for joining us today. I'm filling in for Scott all week. He will be back on Monday at a radio convention with his son in Dallas. With that, it's time now for Dial-A-Doc. September, National Preparedness Month, and preparedness both for individuals and for FHN. Joining us now, it is Doug Tepfer, and he is the Preparedness Coordinator, EMS Emergency. Good morning, Doug. How are you today, sir?
Great. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for joining us today. In September is Emergency Preparedness Week, or month, I should say. And as the coordinator at FHN, what just does that role entail for you, Doug?
Well, it's actually pretty varied. So FHN, like many organizations or hospitals, is the place that people go to in time of disasters. So in order for us to be available to function in a time of disaster, we have to have our own plans and procedures in place so that we can ensure the safety and be there to support the communities if disaster strikes.
Just what types of emergencies does the hospital and all of FHN really need to be ready for?
We look at it, what we call an all-hazards approach. So we have a decontamination team so that if there's any type of chemical exposure outside of the hospital, we can clean those patients before they actually come into the facility. We practice violent intruder. In today's society, we know that things have changed a little bit. So we drill on what to do if a violent intruder comes in. We also look at things like infectious patients. We're entering the flu season, so highly infectious patients is certainly on people's mind. We also deal with weather hazards or disruptions, whether it's a power failure, whether it's severe winter weather or extreme heat, as well as loss of utilities, not just for us, but for patients that may depend on specific equipment in order to sustain them at home.
And like you said, there could be so many different things that could happen with this, be it hot weather, cold weather, any type of flu bug or any type of disease that could go flying around, or like you said, the emergency things like an intruder, school shootings, that type of thing. A lot of things to prepare for. So you conduct exercises sometimes, Doug, and preparing for possible emergencies. Can you give us some examples maybe of some recent exercises and just what they were about and how they went?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times we'll use real-time events as exercises. So if we know that we're going to be doing some utility work in the hospital, for example, and we might shut down the water to part of the hospital for a couple hours, we run that as an exercise and theoretically think, what would happen if we had to prolong that? But we have done exercises recently on a violent intruder. What happens not just at the time of the intruder enters the hospital, but what happens after that fact and that incident is over. We've done exercises recently on infectious patients, and we have one coming up in November on cyber. Cyber is a big issue right now, not just in healthcare, but across the globe as far as a lot of business entities are concerned, and so we're looking at cyber as a statewide exercise in November.
Now, what happens if something major goes down where you not only have maybe three or four or five EMS vehicles arriving in a similar time, but what if there was a shooting and you had a busload of people? What happens in a situation like that?
Well, fortunately, hospitals in Illinois belong to regional coalitions. At FHN, we're part of the Northern Illinois Preparedness and Response Coalition, or NIPARC. And this partners regional hospitals with first responders, nonprofits such as the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, and other nonprofits, as well as local and county government and private sector business. So if we had a situation where we were getting more patients than we could handle, we can really make one phone call to our regional hub, and they can start looking for other hospitals that we can move patients to from that scene. If we would have to evacuate our hospital, the same thing. They're going to help us locate bed space that we can move our patients to. If we need resources, We can make phone calls and get resources sent to us. And the same token, we're available to do the same thing for other partners within our region.
Sounds like a wonderful organization and a good answer. On a personal or a family level, Doug, September, a good month for people to ascertain their own preparedness in case of an emergency. So what kinds of things should people at home know about to be prepared for an emergency in their family?
Well, it's a really good question, Dan. The list is long and varies by people, really, but there are some basic things. First aid supplies, drinking water, non-perishable food, lighting, weather radio, perhaps even another type of radio, hand crank radio that they can use to get information if they don't have electricity. Copies of documents, such as driver's license, birth certificates, those types of things. Because in the event of a disaster, particularly a weather-related event where you might lose your home due to a tornado or flooding, if you lose those important documents, having those copies are going to help you get those back quicker and prove your identity. Also, things like taking classes to help prepare, first aid classes, CPR, Stop the Bleed class is another popular class. It's one that we offer through FHN here. Putting together kits and making sure the family understands, you know, what's in those kits, what they can be used for, having meeting places, locations outside the home, and having a plan. Probably the most important thing is just having a plan so that everybody's on the same page in the household. What happens when?
Another thing individuals can do to better be prepared for life in general, to make sure that everyone in the family's up to date on immunizations and has current health information, especially if you're traveling. Say somebody over Christmas time, you had someone from another state. It's great to have some of that stuff available. And again, with flu shots again this year, tell us about how people can get up to date on immunizations and have their current health information handy.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of venues to have that health information available, and it is a good idea that patients carry that information with them, whether it's just vaccination records or medication records, whatever the case is, in case they are caught in a situation where in an emergency they need to refill prescriptions, or at the very least they're traveling and they get hurt or sick and they need to share that information with a provider in some other location. This is flu season. It's starting, so flu shots are available all over. One of the things FHN has done to try to make that a little bit easier on people is do community flu clinics, which you can find those locations on our website at FHN.org. We do have two community drive-through clinics coming up in the very near future. One of them is actually tomorrow at our Burchard Hills facility in the afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. And then we have another one coming up on October 12th where you don't even actually have to get out of your car. You can just drive through and get your shot.
Now, I hear from people that are generally healthy that, oh, I don't need to get a flu shot. And I know there's a thought process in that. It is for the greater good that everyone gets a flu shot, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. The flu strains vary. And even if you don't ever get sick, that's not saying that this isn't the year that that one strain of virus is not going to cause issues. I encourage everybody to get the flu shot for a couple of reasons. Number one, it protects you, but it also protects your family. And if you stay healthy, then and you practice that within the family unit, then your family stays healthy, and as well as your coworkers. You don't want to take anything to work and share it as well.
Is there anything you folks at FHN have to say to, say, parents that say, I don't want to have a vaccination for my child? What's the response to that?
Well, it's an individual response, and there's a lot of debate about it, and I know people with questions about vaccinations certainly should discuss them with their physician, as well as do some of the research, but make sure they're getting their information from reliable sources. But if you, as a parent, have a question about a vaccination, please discuss it with your physician. Don't just get your internet off or your information off the internet.
Excellent response to that. Thank you. A lot of good information about emergency preparedness on your FHN website. Can you tell folks where that is and how to find it and how to get some of that information?
Absolutely. If they go to www.fhn.org and search emergency preparedness, we have a lot of links to different websites, including information about some of our programs. One of the best resources for getting information for disaster preparedness is the ready.gov site, so www.ready.gov. That's through the federal government, and a lot of the states also use that same link to push out information. You know, September is National Preparedness Month, but preparedness is something we should think about all the time, not just on a personal and family level, but on a larger level as well.
And circling back to something you mentioned earlier, by the way, we're talking with EMS Emergency Preparedness Coordinator Doug Tupfer from FHN. You mentioned that there are some classes out there, and I would think with the way things are these days, you just never know where some emergency thing will come up, where there's a shooting or somebody taking over a building, that type of thing. I would think it's more important than ever to have lay people be able to do some of these things in an emergency situation, and I would think those classes are very important.
Oh, absolutely. And whether it's a first responder class or an EMT class or first aid class, CPR, or even a class such as Stop the Bleed, which teaches how to use a tourniquet, I encourage people to get education on that. Not only do we offer the first aid, CPR, and the Stop the Bleed classes through FHN, we also provide EMS classes. So if anybody is interested in taking classes to become an emergency medical technician or an emergency medical responder, they can watch our website because we do offer those classes once a year as well.
And how are the emergency people with ambulances and that type of thing, EMT, are there enough people doing that these days? Or if people are looking to volunteer, I would think that would be a wonderful place to start.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, in our area, we're mostly rural, so most of the EMS services outside of larger communities like Freeport are volunteer. And volunteerism as a whole is down. In EMS, volunteerism is down. And so anybody that's looking to volunteer or give back to their community, emergency medical services is a great way to do that. And they can talk to their local EMS agency about it. Whether they take a first responder class or emergency medical responder, which is roughly a 12-week class, or an EMT class, which is roughly about a 5-month class, it's great information to have personally, plus it allows you to give back to your community.
Sounds good, Doug. And finally, if folks want to check out your website, why don't you have I'll have you give us that. And if folks want to give you a call and have any questions, what's your phone number, too?
Sure. Our website, again, is www.fhn.org. And if they have specific emergency management things they want to look up, they can just search emergency preparedness on our website. It can be reached at FHN at 815-599-6973.
We've been talking with EMS Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for FHN, Doug Tupfer. Doug, very interesting talking with you today. And folks, take Doug up on the some of these websites and help out and learn how to be able to respond when there's an emergency. Doug, nice talk with you. You take care. Hope to talk with you again soon sometime, okay?
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. That's our Dial a Doc today. This is WBGR Big FM 93.7, The Morning Mass.